Lent begins with the story of Jesus going off by himself in the wilderness to confront the power of his fears alone before God. Giles Fraser writes, "The great Michael Ramsay, Archbishop of Canterbury through the 60s, was once asked how to pray. I just get down on my knees and hope for the best," he replied. In other words, there's not much you have to do other than make time for it. For Ramsay, prayer was not the heaping up of pious chatter. It was not a peculiar way of getting things done in the world. Rather, it was about listening and waiting. The experts in prayer, says Fraser, are therefore often strange misfits, otherworldly, insofar that they eschew any practical calculation of utility. Prayer is like art, or rather, prayer demands the sort of attention that art demands. It takes time, it requires silence. Like Jesus heading into the wilderness, what Giles is describing in this quote is solitary prayer, namely a way of prayer that is intensely personal and involves listening, waiting, wrestling, and silence. Yet there is another type of prayer that I want to talk about this morning, called connected prayer, which is a way of relating to other people and to life in general. It is through the relating, being connected, that God is revealed and known. Recently, Tui Motu, a magazine printed out of Dunedin, published these words of mine about connected prayer. Prayer is about noticing how big and beautiful the world is, the significance of it all, and being swept up into it all. Prayer is about being aware of our links to one another. We are all cousins, for better or for worse. Prayer is like thinking. I have no idea really when I'm doing it, or why I'm doing it. Indeed, prayer is more like being it than doing it. Prayer is like dancing, a movement to match a rhythm. It is not about achieving something, but being in step, being in time. Prayer is like breathing, inhaling goodness, exhaling fear and enmity. It is an act of hope. Prayer is about waking up and believing we can make a difference, then going and being that difference. Behind these words of mine is the idea that being connected to one another, we understand a lot about God. Relationships are the site where we learn who we are and who we might become. Those who think relationships are a distraction from the spiritual life fail, I think, to understand the nature of the Christian God. For the Trinitarian God is a way of connectedness that supports, transforms, and above all loves. Prayer is being in that connectedness. This connected way of prayer reveals the nature of God, particularly through our relationships. When two friends care about each other, they manifest the holy. I have a favorite children's book called Crispin the Pig Who Had It All. And it tells of a teenage pig, Crispin, who who always got the latest and greatest present for Christmas. But this year, when he opened the large parcel addressed to him, Crispin found to his dismay it was an empty box. And he cried and he cried. Then he threw the box out on the street. There it was found and utilized by two neighborhood kids who thought it would make a great hut. Well, to cut a short children's story shorter, in time, Crispin played with these kids and discovered the gift of friendship. Friendship that wasn't predicated on what one owned, but on the enjoyment of each other's company. The story extols the gift of friendship. Outside those west doors of St. Matthew's, there are often groups of men who sleep rough, with little money and resources. A radio interviewer before Christmas spoke with some of them. To live on the streets, one said, you've got to have friends. Outside the east door of St. Matthew's, another group of men meet over the road at the Atrium Gym. Many of these men are involved in business and a number are now retired. The purpose of this gym is not primarily physical health, but the mental health that friendship can engender. Friendship, no matter what our background or circumstances, takes some work. It involves keeping in contact, being generous when we can, and going out of our way for others. It entails forgiveness, patience, self-denial. At times, it also involves making ourselves vulnerable. Friendship, at its best, is connected prayer, nourishing us and others, and revealing God, who is love. Friendship creates communion. The Crispin story, with its empty box, also has something of an upside-down reversal theme. When we are cluttered with things, the gift we need is to learn how to be empty. When we want more and more, the gift we need is less and little. The pursuit of happiness involves learning how to live with sorrow and failure. When we seek strength, we need to learn how to live with weakness, particularly those weaknesses we like to hide from others. Lent, the 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Good Friday, is one of those upside down, stare into the empty box times. Categorizing Lent as being about prayer, self-reflection and self-denial doesn't, I think, go to the heart of it. Yes, it's about silent prayer, reflection and self-denial, but they are the outward vestures. The inward vestures are acknowledging our mortality. From dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. And our experiences of suffering. These experiences of suffering might be due to anxiety, paucity of resources, isolation, the hurt of loved ones, or physical pain. The purpose of such acknowledgement is not self-pity, but the opposite. It is to spiritually connect our suffering with others' suffering. It's to build solidarity, to engender compassion, and ultimately foster the thankfulness that comes from being alive. One quickly learns when one is sick, there are many worse off than oneself. They need our love and prayers. And the strange thing is, when we extend our love and prayers beyond the compass of our own sickness and concerns, then something positive returns to aid our own healing. It's in giving that we receive. Not that that's the reason to give. We give to express our connectedness. The power of intercessory prayer is connectedness. And in that, we can experience sometimes grace and healing. So the chief discipline of the Lenten season, rather than fasting or almsgiving, I think is practicing gratitude. If you don't usually say grace at meals, try it, even especially if you don't feel thankful. Try too opening your eyes in the morning and giving thanks that you're alive, even especially if you don't feel thankful. When you meet someone, try giving thanks for the privilege of being able to communicate and enjoy another's company, even especially if you don't particularly feel thankful for this someone. For practicing gratitude releases a positive energy that assists both us and others. This energy seems to enlarge the circumference of our perception and vision. The purpose of practicing gratitude, therefore, is not to deny our places and experiences of pain and suffering. Rather, it is, to use a religious word, to transfigure it, to enlarge the circle in which we stand. So, in conclusion, connected prayer is a way of being in the energy love called God. It's manifested in the art, costs, and blessings of friendship. The practice of prayer, of the practice of gratitude, is one of the foundations of this way of prayer. And so I close with a little prayer from Michael Lunig. Let us live in such a way that when we die, our love will survive and continue to grow. Amen.